Troy Coverdale back with In Focus on your Thursday morning. Brandon Peoples still on vacation, enjoying himself. I think he was at the Jazz game last night with his daughter. So, you know, bucket list item for Brandon to be able to take part in the NBA playoffs. He had the opportunity yesterday to sit down with the commanding general at the Big Red One, Major General D.A. Sims. He's been in place now since August of last year as the commanding general. And we started by talking about the tenure that he has had thus far at Fort Riley. And he's very pleased with the term that he has seen thus far.
You know, naturally, you'd like to think I'm biased about the organization, and I certainly am. But in terms of where we are here, you know, I'll hit a year in August, and I think in terms of everything from the way our people are working, the way that our operational requirements are going, and then as we're doing with COVID response, I certainly couldn't be happier with where we're at.
It made such an interesting transition for you to take over a post in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic taking place. What have you learned through this process?
I've learned science is really important. You know, I am one of those people who believe the science of what we're looking at here. I have from the beginning, and that didn't change when we got here. And then I also, I'll tell you, I've been getting great advice across the board from, you know, on the installation with our medical experts, and then off the installation from the Department of Defense and the Department of the Headquarters Department of the Army. And in all cases, the advice has been based on science. And I think that's allowed us to make some smart decisions. You know, and I'll tell you, for the, you know, it's not lost on me that those decisions often have, you know, significant impact. So, in both on, you know, people and then on the economy. So, you know, as we made decisions, as an example, back in November, made a decision to adjust our eating out policy. So, as we were off post, we, you know, went to takeout only for bars and restaurants. And then we restricted our military members from using off-post gymnasium. We did that because we were finding the large majority of our cases were tracing back to those kind of situations. We kept those open on our installation because we're controlling those facilities. So I know how we're cleaning gymnasiums. Not that they weren't being cleaned off-post, or we are able to kind of keep our hands around that here. That wasn't, as you would imagine, that was not a super popular decision. And I recognize the impacts of the economy off post and the impacts on restrictions to our personnel. But I'll tell you, you know, you can't prove a negative. At the time in November, our analysts were anticipating that by early January, we could have 4,000 cases. Here we are in the June time frame now, and we're just over half of that for, you know, the last 16 months. So, again, you can't prove a negative, but I felt pretty good about it. And again, those decisions were based on science. On the other hand, and I don't mean to go too long here, but on the other hand, as we came down the other side of the increasing curve, we adjusted those restrictions again. And so we opened up more things to our people. We made adjustments leading up to the decision a couple weeks ago from the secretary to adjust our mask policy on the installation based on vaccinations and who had been vaccinated or otherwise. So anyways, that's a very long answer to your question on COVID, but I think what it taught us, is the resiliency of our people is strong. And even when we have to separate, we can still come together. And there are innovative people out there who have found solutions to do just that, to make sure that our community, both on the installation and off, have maintained a strong connection.
It's the immediacy of having to deal with coronavirus that has been the story, of course, throughout your tenure at this point. What are your longer-term goals with Fort Riley at this point?
Well, and I'll tell you, Troy, as much as COVID has impacted our day-to-day life here, that wasn't my number one priority. My number one priority was all about all about our people. It was from the day I took command on the 14th of August and hasn't subsided or ebbed or waned, I guess, not ebbed, but waned at all. We are focusing solely on making people stronger across the five dimensions of strength. So, physical, social, spiritual, emotional, and family. But we're concentrating on those five dimensions with our individuals. So, and that's not just our military members, but our family members, our Department of the Army civilians. At the same time, we're focusing a great deal of time on increasing the connections between one another. And so, this reliance on each other that's been very important through the pandemic, that's no different in our combat situations. And what we've seen is that, we say up here, duty first is our motto. And we added after that, people always, and then really importantly, all else follows. The thought that if we take care of our people, that if we're stronger across those dimensions of strength, that if we're stronger to one another in terms of our connection, that our cohesion increases, and as a result, our operational readiness will increase. So, our ability to fight our nation's wars, if we're asked to do so, that's a requirement that we're taking care of our people. Those two things are not separated. They're the same coin, different sides of the same coin. And so we've been focusing a great deal of effort on trying to get after, how we're taking care of people. We talk a lot about value and respect. And, I tell folks, wouldn't it be amazing to exist in an organization in which you felt valued, in which you felt respected, and where you valued and respected each other? And wouldn't it be great to be in an organization in which your leaders genuinely cared for you? That's the organization we're shooting for here at the 1st Division in Fort Riley. And so that's been my number one priority. COVID's impacted us, but my number one priority hasn't changed since the 14th of August. And I don't plan on it changing the entirety of my time in command.
This week is Victory Week. What is the significance of that?
Well, I'll tell you, Troy, what a great week. I mean, So Victory Week is an annual celebration in the division, and typically each year the divisions around the Army celebrate an organizational week. We combined our organizational week this year with a couple things. One is we combined it with our Big Red 1 Year of Honor, and I'll come back to that here in a moment. And then the other is we're using this as an opportunity to celebrate and commemorate the 30th anniversary of the Gulf War. So on the first, the Big Red 1 Year of Honor is our commemoration over the course of the year of the 37 extraordinary Americans who are recipients of the Medal of Honor during their service with the Big Red 1. Really amazing. Back from World War I all the way through, we kicked it off in February with Staff Sergeant David Bellavia, retired, who is our only Medal of Honor, living Medal of Honor recipient. And then over the course of the last several months, every month we have commemorated a number of individuals from that 37. So whomever earned the award in that particular month is who we've spent time recognizing. And then as a part of that, each month is either designated a Valor, Victory, or Virtue month. And based on that theme, we've had a panel that's provided leader development sessions out here. So as an example, the first month I mentioned was Staff Sergeant Bellavia. That was a Valor month. Victory Month in March, we had the K-State football coach, so Coach Kleiman. We had the K-State baseball coach, Rockstar Pete Hughes, out here. We had Megan Falcon from the Kansas University women's tennis team. And then we had a coach from West Point, a guy named Mark West, who was terrific. And then the final two coaches were Coach Carroll from the Seahawks and Coach Maury Locust from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And they talked to us about what it's like to live a life of honor from their perspective. So we look at it from the victory perspective. The next month was awesome. So in April, we did a Virtue Month. And the Virtue Month, we had a number of people who work with veterans, who work with the homeless, who work with homeless veterans. And then we had a nurse who deployed for 3 months to a COVID hotspot. And two of the rock stars that were on that they run the Manhattan Soup Kitchen. So Shelley and Sandy Williams, who came. And in this case, again, they spoke to us from their perspective of living lives of honor. And in all those cases, what we found is that we end up talking about leadership. And leadership, although we may be different in the fields that we're working on, it's the same lessons. And so having those reinforced has been really neat. And it's a long answer to get you back to Victory Week, but we have combined Victory Week with our Big Red 1 Year of Honor. And so I mentioned the 30th anniversary. We're celebrating the victory of the division in the Gulf War. It was just over 100 hours sliced through the Iraqi army in that time to free the citizens of Kuwait. I mean, really remarkable. So Lieutenant General Rain, who's retired, commanded the division at the time. He's coming back, and we have a number of Gulf War veterans who are coming back. We'll do a wreath ceremony tomorrow to commemorate the 27 Americans who gave their life as a part of that deployment. And then we'll do a division review on Friday, culminating the week, to celebrate that amazing accomplishment by the division back in 1990-1991.
Anything? Well, unfortunately, the audio decided to drop at that point.
Live radio, what can you do?
Gotta love it. Anyway, that was my interview with Major General D.A. Sims yesterday, the commanding general of the 1st Infantry Division and Fort Riley, as Victory Week continues on the fort this week. And in fact, the Army Chief of Staff is spending time there today. When we come back, we turn our attention to housing issues and talk a bit about Habitat for Humanity in Manhattan with a number of guests. That when we continue on In Focus in a moment on News Radio KMAN.